Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Spent 40 years in the retail industry in sales, marketing, operations, and executive management. He was the president and CEO of Brick Warehouse Corporation in Canada for 13 years. And from 2009 to 2018, he was the CEO of Art Van Furniture. The author of 15 books, including the trilogy Pumptitude, Internal Pumptitude, and Maximum Pumptitude, along with the 68-Day Challenge. His name? Kim Yost. And I'm Jack Crisula. And this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to the Dalai Lama of retail furniture, Kim Yost. Kim, welcome back.
Nice to be back, Jack.
Can we start by talking about your childhood, your mom and your dad, please?
Well, that's a story in itself. My life had a few challenges right out of the gate. When I was 3 years old, living in Red Deer, Alberta, my biological father left our family overseas to play hockey professionally, but never came back. So myself and my two sisters, combined with my mother, of course, were essentially left on our own. I was adopted when I was 7 years old by a business executive. We call him Papa Tony. And that is essentially where I started to realize and had my love and appreciation for business and particularly retail. He was a retailer himself, Papa Tony. And as his adopted son with my three sisters at the time, he put a lot of energy in the development of my retail passion and desire.
All right. Very early in your retail career, I believe you were fired.
True. Not once, but three times, all within one organization. You know, I was very fortunate to work for a department store in Vancouver called Woodward's. It had been around for 100 years. Very conservative, very traditional. In that couple billion dollars worth of sales revenue in the two Western provinces with some 30 stores. And we sold every category known to man. It would be very much like a combination of the Nordstrom's, Macy's, and Sears called Woodward's Department Store. And in that organization, they were very conservative, very traditional. So breaking rules, challenging ourselves to do new things, trying new things. I'll just give you one example. We would sell sofas in the early 70s in long rows. The coffee tables were on another floor. The lamps were on another floor. Matter of fact, you'd have to walk for hours to put together in anything in your mind as to what would be a living room grouping. So I got in early. I'm in the stock room. I'm 17 years old. I get in early, and I get it in my mind that I'm going to create living room groupings around the escalator on the fifth floor. And I build five of these with some of my friends from other stock rooms. And I'm just in the stock room, but I'm thinking, my God, if you could put a coffee table in front of a sofa and put end tables and lamps and decorate it as if it was a room, this could be revolutionary. Well, I was given 2 weeks' notice because you're not supposed to put coffee tables in front of sofas. We line up sofas in a row. But here's the cute story. On Friday of that very week, I was put on 2 weeks' working notice on the Monday. On Friday, one of the executives had come back from High Point, North Carolina, the furniture show, and they started to display furniture in room settings. So when he came back and saw these displays around the escalator on the fifth floor, he said, my God, this kid may be onto something. Well, that Friday, I got $10 more a week, and I was promoted as the chief merchandiser for the upstairs floor.
And Kim Yost has been breaking rules ever since, ever since. Okay.
I believe so.
So, all right. You then worked for The Brick, one of Canada's largest volume retailers of furniture, mattresses, et cetera, for 13 years, and you ultimately became its president in 2000. What made The Brick so successful? Other than you, Kim.
Well, entrepreneurship. And, Jack, one of the things that I think your listeners are going to enjoy is that all great successes in business are driven by a monomaniac on a mission. Mono meaning singular. Maniac, you've got to be a bit crazy to be in any type of business, and you've got to be on a mission. In this case, it was the founder, Bill Comrie. When I moved from Vancouver to Edmonton, it was to work for a visionary, to work with this monomaniac on a mission, Bill Comrie. And so the success was primarily driven by Bill and creating a leadership team, all working in the same degree. And what I love about you, this question, is that speed of the leader, speed of the team, quality of the leader, quality of the team, and then you get the team you deserve. And in the case of Bill Comrie and the Brick, we had a fabulous team. So the secret to the success there was the team and its leader.
Tell us a little more about this Mr. Comrie.
Well, that's a story in itself, Jack. We'd have to take a couple hours. He has sent three of his biological children, all boys, to the NHL, which is, he also loves hockey. But he loves business, and he loves competing. You know, the one quote, and he's got dozens of them, competition is the elevator to success. So learn to compete and learn to win. And what he created at The Brick for so many years before we actually sold that company, it's owned now by Leon's, which is headed up out of the West, Edmonton, Brick's headquarters is in Edmonton, Alberta, is that build a company and build a culture and an environment where winners come to win. And as I said, the secret sauce of The Brick and continues today is its leadership team and its associates who are all winners.
All right. You mentioned a few minutes ago that every successful business has a monomaniac. And I say this in a phenomenally respectful way.
Yes.
Mr. Van, as you call him, A.V., Art Van Alslander, yep, was such a person. How'd you meet him?
Well, I met him through Bill Comrie. Jack, we would go to performance groups. We were one member, and we had exclusive membership for Canada because we had some over 200 retail stores. And we were one of the members, and we would go to each of the other five members, Mr. Van and Gary Van, the son, the oldest son, were part of that membership. And we would go to each and other's businesses and spend two or three days working with them, sharing best practices, learning the secret sauce of each of these businesses. So there was a group of six. It was called the Summit Group. I first met Mr. Van at these meetings where we would meet together for twice a year, moving from one retail organization to the other. And they were predominantly owned by Warren Buffett. Some fabulous retail entrepreneurs and businesses were part of this performance group called the Summit. So that's where I met Mr. Van.
Mr. Van once told me that it took him 15 years to hire you. When we come back, we're going to talk about why 15 years. And I'm Jack Russell, and this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything is Possible. I'm Jack Russell. We're with Kim Yost. And from 2009 to 2018, he was the CEO of Art Van Furniture. All right, Kim, Mr. Van once told me, Jack, it took me 15 years to hire the guy. How was it you joined him in October of 2009?
Well, that is a story in itself, and simply because we, and as you know, Michigan was going through a really rough time with the auto industry based on to that recession in 2008-2009. And what brought me to Michigan was very much that recession. Art Van had needed to induce some new thinking, new ideas, with a very talented and seasoned executive, led, of course, by the chairman, Mr. Art Van, President Gary Van, David Van, his son, and countless other executives. They just needed one more ingredient to add to that team, which would then take us from 2009, which was essentially a really challenging top line in terms of sales and bottom line in terms of profitability, and give it a new trajectory. And so with me coming to Michigan, I believe that I added that additional ingredient. And one of the things that people constantly ask me about AV, the chairman, is what were his secrets to success? What were some of his secret sauce? And Jack, I'll just describe four. Number one, his personal brand. He was a leader. He led by example, but he was a personal brand in himself. He was very fitting in the way he spoke, the way he looked, and the way he acted. His executive presence was very profound. Number two, he loved this combination. No sooner did we finish something, what's next? Always looking for what was the next opportunity, the next reinvention, the next new thing. And if I heard it once, both Gary, David, and myself constantly heard, well, ladies and gentlemen, what's next? Number three, reinvention. You know, we were 60 years in the making when that business was transitioned to a private equity firm out of Boston. 60 years. Jack, less than 5% of North American businesses make it past 10 years. That drops down to 3%, 2% when you get to 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and in our case, 60 years worth of retail. And so that's a phenomenal thing in itself. So number three is reinvention. And then lastly, he had this famous quote, the business is made of bricks and mortar. The heartbeat is its people. And what Mr. Van realized at early stages when he was one employee with one little furniture store was that if he was going to build any type of success and have scale and growth, it was going to be by creating a talented team. And so for him, it was always about the people and the organization.
All right, Kim, you join him in October of 2009. Friends, that was the height of America's economic tsunami. Nobody was buying furniture in October, November of 2009. And Kim, within the first month, you bring your leadership team together, okay, in Warren, and
true,
you say, friends, we're not going to participate in the recession. In fact, Black Friday, we're going to break the all-time record. Kim, all you Canadians play hockey. Did you get too many pucks to the head? Kim, it was the economic tsunami and you're going to break the record? Were you nuts?
Not necessarily, but it may have appeared that way. You know, one of the things that I had to do to transform the thoughts and the process was I had to go to a dumpster in the back of the warehouse because we had our own television station across all our stores. So we would broadcast constantly things that were happening in the industry, in our stores, in our promotion. We called it ABTV. So I went on ABTV with this big sign, Jack, that had the word no. And then I had another sign that was in red. And then I had another big sign that said yes, and that was in green. And I put the sign no into the dumpster behind the warehouse. And I told everybody in the organization from stockroom to boardroom that no was out. No, we tried that before. No, we can't do that. No, that's not going to happen. No, we're in a recession. No, no, no. That went into the dumpster. I shut the lid. And then I held up this big sign that says yes. No is out. Yes is in. Yes, we're going to try new things. Yes, we're going to reinvent ourselves. We're going to retool, rethink, reimagine. We're going to embrace these R's. And by doing so, we started to clear a new path. And, you know, we have this thing called failing to plan is planning to fail. And we just literally put the plan in place with game books, and then we executed accordingly.
And on that Black Friday, your team set the all-time sales record in the history of AV.
True. In my first book, Pumptitude, Pump Up Your Attitude and Gain Altitude, I put in a letter that was written by our vice president of sales, Kevin Gilfillian, on his bewilderment of how we achieved that. And he never understood the power of thought because, you know, he was overseeing several hundred sales executives and sales management. And by planting a seed that we were going to break an all-time company record or even achieve the all-time new milestone was beyond the thinking at that particular time. So in Kevin's letter, and I published it in the first book, was just a description that how powerful it is when you get a group of people behind one single thought and you get them obsessed, and you give them a plan, and they execute, great things can happen. Anything is possible. It's the theme of your show.
Thank you. All right. Another phenomenal trait that Mr. Van had was giving back. With the parade,
true,
with all of the trips to Haiti, et cetera, talk about the love he had for people.
Well, we talked a little bit about his team and our team and how important the employees and the team itself was. But beyond that, it was the customers and the community that we served in. And he found out at a very early age that there was another way to sell a sofa. And that wasn't just by advertising and promotions and running sales. It was giving back to the community and building a relationship with the community. So whether it was giving to saving the parade, as you described, which would be all about kids and family and having people on that parade route enjoy such a fabulous Thanksgiving Day. It was also to give back to hospitals, schools, underprivileged, homeless. There was opportunities and endless opportunities for him to look for ways to improve, enhance the community. And what he would simply say is that the ROI, return on investment, was far greater for every dollar that we gave to the community versus the dollars that we would push out in terms of our marketing, television, print, you know, radio, et cetera.
All right. One time, the late, great Mike Feasey, Norman Yatuma, myself, and Mr. Van went to Beverly Hills, California. And during that trip, AV wanted, I want to go see this Mirage. It's a new five-star hotel. I just want to go see it. So he and I walk into the lobby. And Kim, I pride myself on, you know, having style and seeing things. And what I saw was like black and white. As that man described to me what he saw, it was brilliant technicolor. Talk about his, you know, his style, his vision, how he saw colors, etc.
Well, that's a great story. The one that he would describe to us regularly was go to Times Square in New York. There are two types of people. Let's just call it executives. And this is in business. It doesn't have to be in retail. One type of executive goes to Times Square and says, and does a 180 degree or 360 and says, oh my God, there's lots of signs and noise and people. And that's all they see. One other executive looks at it and takes the time, which is the art of observation, to see the design, the creativity, the imagination, the cool and fun stuff that's happening in Times Square and absorb everything and anything. And more importantly, what can we learn from what's happening in Times Square and then apply it to our business? This transforming of ideas and thoughts into an unrelated business, which in our case would be selling sofas and mattresses. How can we transfer that and learn from it? This was a big part of his DNA, and I would argue that it made him the success that he was.
We're talking to Kim Yost. When we come back, we're going to go back to July 30th, 2015. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Frasula, and we're with Kim Yost. He's an awful lot of things. One of the biggest is he's a world-class storyteller, which we're going to get into a little later. Kim, let's go back to July 30th, 2015, Downers Grove, Illinois. Please.
Okay, well, that story starts with the Brain Trust. We had a group of talented ladies who met each week with myself and Mr. Van, to talk about ideas, to grow the business, how would we transform the brand, you know, give back to the community. We did a lot of our charity work at this Brain Trust meeting that we held Wednesday morning each week. Well, the idea came from Mr. Van that we should have Jennifer Hudson sing at our grand opening of our flagship store in Chicago, that we should bring her and create a stage and have her sing for, you know, 60 minutes to a VIP audience for its grand opening. Well, beyond the size of the check that we had to write, everybody thought that that was an idea beyond, you know, achieving. Well, Mrs. Charles went to work. She was a VP of the promotions and public relations and special events, and she went to work, and we got Jennifer Hudson to sing that night. She performed like no other. We had an evening for a grand opening of furniture store that still today, several years later, our industry still talks about it, that it was the single biggest, most exciting, and most expensive grand opening VIP event in our history to open up a furniture store. Yeah, it was a night to remember.
There were about 200 people. It was simply, you had Nigel Barker. You had Hillary Fire. It was unbelievable, unbelievable. And Jennifer Hudson was spectacular.
Yes, one of the things that Alan Sussman, who owns Sussman Agency, was our ad agency for several decades and was a big part of our success. We call him Suss. What he said about Mr. Van, which was very unique in terms of his entrepreneurship, was he would write the check. So many business owners have vision and dreams, but they just lack the courage or the wherewithal in some case, the financial wherewithal, to write the check. And what Alan would say about Mr. Van is that when he got an idea and he thought it was big and it would invest in the community or in our business, he would write the check.
One time,
and that night he wrote the check.
One time you and I were having lunch and you shared with me a Chinese proverb about that. You said, Jack, you can't make rice by talking about it. So.
Yep. In my first book, 12th century Chinese proverb, can't make rice by talking about it. And Mr. Van made a lot of rice.
All right. Talking about making, every year you've got the 68-day challenge. And I quote you now, that you believe 2024 is a year like no other. Talk about the 68-day challenge in 2024.
Jack, I got this idea several decades ago about reinventing ourselves each and the beginning of each year. Not a New Year's resolution, which many fall out after the first couple of weeks. You know, there's like 90% of the New Year's resolutions don't get any traction, or they literally just disappear by the time they hit February. I had this idea that if 20% of the year, the Pareto law, 80-20, the Italian mathematician, if the 20% of the first part of the year had a plan and it was well executed and you established some really great goals and rhythm within those goals, the remaining 80% would be a huge success, hence the 80-20. So 68 days is approximately 20% of a 365-day year. Now, within the 68 days, I've, in truth, irritated more people to challenge themselves by putting a plan together. And there are seven steps that you go through, very simple seven steps, to create your plan and then ultimately achieve your goal by the time you've finished your 68 days. Now, most people will be weight loss, quitting smoking, maybe, you know, stopping some bad habits, or more importantly, get on to some really healthy, productive things like reading, studying, you know, losing weight, exercising, etc. But what's so interesting about the 68 days and the seven steps, and what I'd like to share to your listeners, is that the most important ingredient in reinventing yourself and changing some of your habits or achieving your goal is step number three, which is your change team, pulling together people who care about you, be it at work, be it in your family, and they become part of your change team. So you pick two or three people who you share your 68-day challenge with. They become vested in your success, and by doing so, they keep you on track because you're going to have slippage. No matter what your goal is at the beginning of every year, you're going to have slippage. So the 68-day challenge and step number three, your change team, can change your life. And here's just one thing that I would like to share with your listeners. 2024 is going to no doubt be a challenging year. We've got international wars and conflicts that are going to continue on, and we won't go into detail about those, but most likely they're going to continue on into 2024. It's an election year. There's going to be lots of interesting things happening this year, unlike others. And here's what I will tell you. I'm going to challenge your listeners to transform themselves in 2024 like no other. I'd like them to take out a sheet of paper and write down a competitor of them, a hypothetical competitor that wants their job, wants their life, and that wants to outperform and compete them. This is a hypothetical competitor who you know has attributes that is going to be able to compete and not only thrive in 2024. So you write down, what would this hypothetical he or she look like? And you write down these attributes of this person who you hypothetically know is going to either take your job or push you off to the sidelines and exceed in everything that they want to do. So you describe this hypothetical person and you write it down. And then instead of being feared of it, you transform yourself into that person. And so I believe that 2024 is a year of reinvention, retooling, rethinking, reestablishing who we are and investing in ourselves. And I love this Jim Rohn quote, Jack, work at your job, make a living. Work on yourself, make a fortune. And 2024 is the theme of 2024 is working on ourselves and reinventing ourselves.
If you want to learn more, www.pumptitude, PUMPTITUDE.com. Kim, phenomenal storyteller you are. What do all great storytellers have in common?
Well, first you have to have a passion for caring and sharing. Because, Jack, sharing is the greatest multiplier. There's no other multiplier in the world that is as strong as sharing. So you have to be a kind of an individual that wants to share. And then once you have this passion for sharing and you want to be a teacher, you then need to have a philosophy. You need to have life lessons. You have to have beliefs in what you would like to share that you believe would be beneficial. Success leaves clues. I've worked for three self-made billionaires, and success leaves clues. We just got to be smart enough to see them, learn them, and then do something with them. Now, failure also leaves clues, so you want to be mindful of that as well. And I would just share that storytelling is the greatest multiplier, and for you to be able to share your philosophies, your learnings, your life lessons, and contribute to your legacy, be a sharing and caring individual.
We're talking to Kim Yost. He's a lifelong learner and an adventurer. And when we come back, we're going to talk to him about his latest three books, the Life Chest Extreme Adventure Series. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
Jack Krasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohom. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Kim Yost. One of his latest ventures is three new books, a series entitled The Life Chest Extreme Adventure Series. Kim, The Life Chest, the book Crimson Dark, you talk about the six laws of the order. Please.
True. Well, in every philosophy, in every learnings, there's disciplines, you could argue guiding rules. And so when we set upon creating this series of books, we're on our third series now, we established the laws of the Indigo Magic. And there are six laws. And what I did personally when writing these laws was took advantage of all the years that I have had people coaching me, the amount of reading, just the amount of influence that I've had in my life. And I described six laws that I best feel we could guide the protagonists in our book series and use them as their sort of constant inspiration, education, and it's darn right irritation through the novels. And I'll share them with your listener. Law number one is always believe. You know, there's challenging times, both personally and professionally, where we are not going to believe. We're not going to believe in ourselves. We're not going to believe in the things that are around us. And you've got to have this constant, never-ending belief that good will happen as a man thinketh. So law number one, always believe. Law number two, selflessness versus selfish. Be selfless, not selfish. And when you start to adopt a life where you're giving back as opposed to taking, profound things happen. Law number three, have compassion for the plight of others. In the world today, we see a lot of conflict and challenges happening, and we need to have empathy and compassion for the plight of others. And this is a very powerful law, number three. Number four, hone your instincts and learn to trust them. Jack, so many of your listeners on your station will have these great instincts, and the biggest challenge is not to have them or get them, it's to act on them and believe in them and trust them. So trust your instincts, law number four. Law number five, when you know when something is right, you must do it. How many of us go through life realizing that something is wrong or you're put into a situation where you've got to make a decision, right or wrong, trust law number four, which is your instinct. And when you know something is right, you must do it. And then law number six, I think, is really profound. Build your legacy with a life of good deeds. Build your legacy with a life of good deeds. And what is good deeds? It's just giving thoughts and consideration, and in sometimes time, money, and effort to others, and accomplishing and doing things. We spoke earlier about Mr. Mann and his contribution towards the Thanksgiving Day parade, the amount of millions of dollars that he gave back to the community. It was always about building his legacy with a life of good deeds. So those are the six laws of the Indigo Magic.
If you want to learn more, www.thelifechest.com. Speaking of Life Chest, your soulmate, Donna. Talk about Donna.
Well, she's very active today with a number of activities. You know, if you look at our books, Jack, and you were kind enough to have a look at the last three that we published. One of the things that Donna does is she designs the books, she publishes the books, and organizes all our trips. What makes my adventure novels, our adventure novels, so different is that part of our secret sauce is that we travel the world, and I mean literally the world, to the destinations, and we go deep into the storytelling with these trips. So what Donna does is she not only publishes the books, works on the design, but she photographs our trips. She creates, there's a back section in the appendix where she puts the photos and the album of all the things that we've done, and she organizes those trips. So that's just one of many things that she did. If you recall, when we were at a decade in Michigan, she spent a lot of time with her Life Chest project with the homeless, with the military, and the amount of time and effort that she put to try to fill her legacy with good deeds. She actually lives the laws that I just described probably more than anyone else I know.
For years that I've known you, you've always told me about the secret sauce. Would you please tell us the ingredients of the secret sauce?
Well, for the book series, it's very simply the laws of the magic order. We just described those, but we created this very unique thought pack. So it is a backpack that meets artificial intelligence, that meets a robot. And so we call them bot packs. And each of our protagonists, where there's six of them that go through the various adventures, have this companion that is personally wired to connect to them. And it's really a backpack with a robot and artificial intelligence. So we call those bot packs. We fill our adventure series with time travel. So when you become a member of the order, you can time travel, which helps Donna and myself and our Terry, our ghostwriter, plus our illustrationist, when we travel to these destinations, Jack, we go back in history. And so with time travel, it gives us an opportunity to go back to some very interesting places and interesting times around the world. And so that's secret sauce. Secret sauce, and I use it with my business planning game books and three-year roadmaps, is differentiation. What makes you as an individual, your DNA, different? And sometimes I just simply say, what's your secret sauce? What is so unique about you as a person, your business, in our case, our book series, that can't be replicated and duplicated easily? Hence, your secret sauce.
If there's a listener tonight that says, Jack, how does this man do it all? I'm going to give you the answer. His secret sauce to doing it all is he's created what he calls an eighth day. Kim, what's the eighth day?
Well, it is Monday. It is the day between Sunday and Monday. People ask me, how did you publish 15 books? How have you been able to accomplish all these additional activities when you're still running a business as the CEO, president, in many cases, of businesses that have hundreds of stores? Well, I need to figure out how to get some me time, some new, different opportunities to be able to reinvent and to rethink. And so I created this from 5 p.m. on Sunday night to 10 p.m., these 5 hours are referred to as Shmonday, the day between Sunday and Monday, the eighth day. And I will tell you that I encourage all your listeners, you can start with an hour. It doesn't have to be on Sunday night. It could be Tuesday morning. It could be Thursday evening. I have dozens of individuals that I know personally and professionally that continue with their Shmonday, but it's on a different day. And in many cases, it's only an hour or two. But it is your time to focus on yourself, develop your goals and your things you want to accomplish, and spend time on reinventing yourself. It's kind of like me time. And so that's the Shmonday. And I would tell you that it has had a profound impact on me personally and the people that I know that adopt it as a habit. Everybody out there, get your Schmunday.
We're talking to Kim Yost. If you want to learn more, www.pumptitude.com. Speaking of Pumptitude, that's a 3-book series that you self-published, personal development series. It's short for Pump Up Your Attitude and Gain Altitude. Tell us about those 3 books.
Yes, thank you, Jack. Well, I started writing the first one, which was really a discovery of what were all the great things that I had learned. And I had so many great mentors and coaches that I had to sort of put my philosophies and my ideas, the ones that were so dear to me, and I created 68 of them, hence the 68-Day Challenge. And I wanted to share with your listeners just a couple of them. The 68-Day Challenge we've talked about. The other one is energy, the 23-hour day. We all need to manufacture energy. Jack, one of the things that I have found as a commonality amongst all great and successful people, people who have achieved amazing things, is they have one key ingredient, energy. It's like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. With low energy, low success, low achievement, low in everything. But if you have high energy and you've got that serotonin and those endorphins going into your bloodstream, I prefer it first thing in the morning, the 23-hour day, it's in the trilogy. Goal setting, personal transformation, passion for the grind. Oh, my 5 daily to-dos, which I write on a reminder card every morning. I write 5 things that I want to get done that day on my daily to-dos reminder cards. And every one of my associates that have worked with me know that I've got it in my pocket and it gets updated every day. We talked about Schmunday. Here's one I will share with your listeners. Most people know their company's vision and their mission. Matter of fact, they're posted on washroom walls and meeting rooms. Everybody can recite their company's vision and their mission. But when they're asked, do they have one of themselves? Draw a blank. How few of all of us have our own vision and mission? And part of my Pumptitude trilogy, I describe how to prepare a simple, easy, focused vision, which is where you want to go, where you're trying to, you know, where's your journey, and your mission on how you're going to get there. So these are just some of the highlights as it relates to the Pumptitude trilogy.
If you want to learn more, www.pumptitude.com. Kim, you are a Canadian treasure. Thanks again for coming on.
My pleasure. And good luck to all your readers. Let's make 2024 a year like no other.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Fasulo. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.
Believe in yourself.